More new and expectant mothers die in the U.S. than in any other developed nation. According to the CDC, at least 700 mothers die every year here, and Black women are at the highest risk. A recent investigation by ProPublica and NPR examines racial disparities in maternal deaths. NPR's special correspondent, Renee Montaigne, joins me from Culver City, California, where it is quite early. Good morning, Renee.
Good morning.
So there's two issues here. The first is the question of why the U.S. has such a problem with maternal deaths. And when we say maternal deaths, we're talking about both while a woman is pregnant, during childbirth, and shortly after birth, correct?
Yes. In fact, it's always important to understand we call it, generally speaking, you call it due to childbirth or in childbirth. But the CDC, Centers for Disease, CDC Prevention. CDC
it's early. Disease Control and Prevention.
Yeah, control and Prevention. I haven't had to say it out for a long time. The CDC there in Atlanta measures for a full year from birth to full year out. It allows for the fact that the mother may have died as a result of that childbirth. So the truth of the matter is, though, most deaths due to childbirth happen after birth. A majority. Many of them in the first week, most of them in the first 6 or 7 weeks, but some of them as far as a year out.
So let's actually hear a clip. One of the people that you spoke to during this investigation was the mother, Awanda, of Shalon Irving of Sandy Springs, Georgia, here in our own state. She died from complications of childbirth. And of course, her death came after the birth.
It was a great birth. It was just a beautiful time. So the problem didn't come in until after the birth, and she didn't have an afterbirth plan.
How common is it for new mothers to not have what's called an afterbirth plan?
You know, it is very common. In fact, it would be uncommon for a mother to have an afterbirth plan that would be about her own health. There are lots of afterbirth plans. Women and their husbands, their partners spend all kinds of time planning for, you know, the crib, the room, the baby's health, the party. I mean, there's lots of plans that are in place for afterbirth. But it is very unusual for people to look at the afterbirth period as a sort of a medical period. A period where there is any possibility of complications as long as the birth itself went well. You know, obviously a very complicated birth might, you know, result in a flow of problems afterwards that would be handled maybe even in the hospital. But the notion of postpartum care is very minimal in this country, we discovered. And I personally, I'm fixated on it, actually, because so many of these deaths occur during that period of time. It's sort of quite an amazing gap in the culture of American health and also in the system itself. I mean, I'll tell you something really quickly. I'm going to tell you about I collected a bunch of postpartum instructions for a future story, a story that I'm working on right now. And, you know, there's like a two-page, it looks like a mimeograph from the 1950s, but it's just basically printed up postpartum instructions, what to do, come back in 6 weeks, what not to do, don't have sexual intercourse for 6 weeks, do this, do that, no, when to call your doctor, and then a list that no mother would read probably after she's brought her baby home, even more so would probably not read if, you know, she was sleep deprived, as most mothers are, if she was a little overwhelmed, if she was slightly depressed. I mean, there's no outreach for mothers after birth to speak of. It's almost like they systematically go from a healthcare system, that is the obstetricians and the constant and regular monitoring, to the birth in a hospital or maybe at home with midwives, something like that. But I mean, you know, to the birth. And then after that, they're in a whole other system. That's the pediatric system.
So let me give a few of the statistics that come from your report, the NPR's reporting and ProPublica's. 50,000 women a year experience serious complications or lose their lives during this period of time around birth. And serious complications more than doubled between 1993 and 2014, which means these kind of complications and deaths are on the rise in the U.S. while they're falling through the rest of the developed world. And Shalon's story, Shalon Irving of Georgia, actually brings us to the second part of this, which is, yes, maternal deaths are worse in the U.S. than other developed nations, but they're particularly bad for African-American women. Here is, again, Wanda, who is Shalon's mother.
There's a picture of her and Soleil with the same outfits that was taken the day she collapsed, the morning of the day she collapsed. Soleil is French for sun. She just lights up a room when she smiles. And she's the only reason I have for getting out of bed every morning.
It's so hard to listen to because, in fact, you know, that picture was indeed a picture of her and in their little outfits. And Shonda had not been doing so great after birth. She had mastered the whole pregnancy very well and shot right through it, even though she had a blood clotting disease that was under control. She had a history of hypertension, but that was under control even without drugs. She was overweight. But there were lots of things going on with her that in theory could have fed into what turned out to be an afterbirth. There were afterbirth issues that she could not survive. The thing that we're trying to bring out with her was if she couldn't make it, and she's a black woman, and black women are 3 to 4 times more likely to die in childbirth than white women. It's an astonishing, horrifying statistic. If she couldn't survive, what occurred afterwards, she died of hypertension, according to an autopsy. But there are those who would argue that what led to that hypertension was a lifetime of sort of blows. And I think I'll just throw that out. A lifetime of blows, something called a life course of, to be flat out about it, racism.
So the reason you're saying this is because Shalon was an epidemiologist at the CDC. She had 2 master's degrees. She had a PhD. She had very good health insurance. And for a long time, people have thought the disparities of race in healthcare were because of income or lack of education or lack of access to health insurance. And what this investigation finds is that's not in at all. And that just leaves us with growing up African-American in the United States.
Well, let me say this. It is it quite a bit. All these sociological issues of not having the best hospitals, entrenched or historic racism, putting people in situations where they don't have jobs or the generations of lack of health care, a lifetime of a lack of health care. Much of that is actually correct. And that's what Shalon was studying, which is the horrible irony of all of this. She was studying it. She knew it better than anybody else. And yet she, too, died. None of that applied to her, per se. She had a wonderful team. She loved her gynecologist. I can't say looking back, one can reanalyze everything that happened, and there's at least one expert we talked to who said she should have been put back in the hospital. But the reality is pretty much what happened to her would have happened to a white woman, as we are finding out, in her situation. That is to say, she got a certain amount of attention, but not enough. And in the end, attention wasn't paid to what was wrong with her. But why she couldn't survive that comes down to certain things, and one of that had to do with something called aging that is being studied and suggesting that, and the suggestion that a lifetime of stress can age your body in a way that a black woman pregnant at 35 would correlate to a white woman pregnant in her 40s. And right there, you have a real problem.
And so let's hear from Michael Liu, who was the head of the Maternal and Child Health Bureau for quite a period of time. And here he is talking about just what you mentioned.
It's the experience of having to work harder than anybody else just to get equal pay and equal respect. It's being followed around when you're shopping at a nice store, or being stopped by the police when you're driving in a nice neighborhood. those types of experiences create a kind of chronic stress that continues to gun the engine, which over time create the wear and tear on your bodies.
But how does one, as a medical professional, how does one address that? You can't address institutional racism as a doctor.
Exactly. I mean, there's the conundrum. One suggestion, but is that just knowledge on the part of both providers and also women themselves, and that's not unimportant. One of the things that Shalon wanted to do was be seen, be brought to the hospital. And by the way, Dr. Liu was speaking of professional Black women in that. He could have been speaking of all Black women, but he was speaking specifically of professional Black women, saying their problems are not that different in their day-to-day life as you know, poorer, less privileged Black women. And you know, one of the, you know, one thing we can offer is just information, knowledge. Know this. Know that if you, you know, there's scientific studies that study it at the chromosomal level. There are telomeres that show that they're short, that are shorter in Black women at an in middle age than they're shorter, meaning they're aging. And so that know that the body may not be quite as adept and need more attention sooner. And if I know we had in our stories, Black women are often, if we had so many different conversations and also spoke with experts, Black women are often the last thing they want to do is push.
Yeah,
that would be true of most women after the given birth. They often say things like, make a fool out of myself, or seem to be needy. And the point we're saying is, know your body, believe what it's telling you, and demand to get what you need. And we've had at least one woman write us and say she did just that,
and
she think it saved her life.
NPR correspondent Renee Montaigne, she's been working on this investigation with ProPublica on maternal deaths and the high rate within the Black community especially. You can check out all of the reporting on this series at gpbnews.org. Renee, thank you.
Oh, Celeste, thanks very much.